Think about it this way. If you don't appreciate your mother or your father, you're not going to be able to receive from them that which you desire, which is unconditional love. If you don't appreciate your children, you can put this in any kind of area, you will not be able to receive from it. It will not be able to sustain you or satiate you. Welcome to Spiritually Hungry. It's one of your favorite kinds of episodes because it's going to be snacky bite.
Nope. It's going to be long. Even though, again, not all of our listeners, by the way, in the United States, but of course in the United States.
We're heading into Thanksgiving. It is the time now. So most people are busy.
In the U.S.
planning, hosting, baking, cooking, getting ready to.
Or full of angst. Welcome to see their family people, or not.
And then also this leads into the holiday season generally anyway, right? Whatever you celebrate. So I think it's appropriate for all of our listeners. The holidays are a time of laughter, of love, of family. So says the cards and commercials that we view and that we watch. But for many, it's a minefield of tension, hurt feelings, and unspoken resentments. Imagine if the commercials and the greeting cards
were true,
and actually called it.
I'm sure Saturday Night Live has a few of those.
For sure. And some holiday movies, you know, it starts like that, but it ends warm and fuzzy. So there are three sayings that are almost a promise for conflict, because I started thinking about this, like what actually happens? And I even start hearing kind of the grumblings of this, whether I'm speaking with students or even, you know, not going to out anybody, but even with family members, one is I feel this, I feel that, because I feel often, right? People, when they start a sentence like that, or another one is I'm triggered, or that triggered me, or another one is, you know, you can't talk to me like this, you can't treat me like that. And then they list all of their grievances. It's like, that's a way to set up that conversation. And then my thought is, okay, we all have feelings, but nobody should be the casualty of anybody else's behavior. And I think often people go through life like that, especially if they're not in a great place or they're not happy in life. And the holidays can bring about that, because a lot of it's like, you should be happy. It's the best time of the year, the happiest time of the year. And, you know, people still have struggles or they have their pain, but it always confuses me. While people may have their pain, why do you need to inflict pain upon others? Because you're in vain, right? And I know the saying, hurt people hurt people.
But their problems are probably not conscious, right? That's part of the problem, which is
why I think we want to have
But
this.
I wonder, like, we were talking about somebody today, and if you stop them, I don't have an insight into this. This is somebody you know. And you said, do you know that you're causing pain to this loved one of yours that you actually, I assume, care about? Would they still go on that tirade or that behavior?
It doesn't last. I have done that. It usually stops them from continuing in that way. I have had that conversation, and it sounds something like this. When they are no longer here, you're not going to remember all the grievances that you feel today about them. All you will be left with is regret. Regret for not being kind enough, regret for not appreciating them enough, regret for not loving them enough. That's all you'll be left with. And so that's usually pretty jarring, and it does wake them up, but it's not lasting.
Well, because you're not doing that work, which almost is funny. As I was thinking about this episode, I thought, and again, this is a little macabre, but imagine the eulogy you would give.
Yeah, I'm going to get a little macabre too.
Good. So maybe we should go straight in there. And then, right. And you're going to talk about all the things you're going to miss.
You're going to remember the best of the best.
And because, by the way, you know, you've had the opportunity.
Yeah,
I've had the opportunity twice with my father and my mother. You've had, thankfully, only once with your father.
And recently my grandmother, but yeah.
And of course, I was going to say, you share the parts that are meaningful. Of course, you will mostly not share anything that was negative, but not because you're lying, but because in truth, in that moment, those are the most relevant and important memories, feelings that you have towards that person. So I just wanted to,
But it's because you can't blame them anymore. And I think that I've seen this a lot. When that person is no longer here, you can't attack them. You can't blame them for wherever you find yourself. What you actually are left with is pain. And then also suddenly an awakened appreciation is there, and it's late, right? It's very late. And that's where I kind of want to go with this episode, because the only thing that will remedy this, will allow one to stop behaving in ways that are not great for themselves or true to themselves, but certainly not fair to anybody who's in their wake, is appreciation. And if you really, really, because I was thinking about this too, you could say, oh, if you respected somebody, you treat them, but it's not respect. If you really have an appreciation for someone, for their existence, for the fact that they love you or that they're a part of your life, that you have family, if you really appreciated that to the extent that you could, you wouldn't allow yourself to behave other than anything less than at least human dignity, right? And I was reading something, it was a story in the Prophets about King David. And it's an interesting story. And I love stories in the Bible, because sometimes we think that we're like going through this thing and nobody's ever experienced this and it's so hard. And we certainly know that's not true. There's other people in the world experiencing exactly what you're experiencing.
One of my favorite quotes, history does not repeat itself, but it rhymes.
But when you read these stories from like thousands of years ago, you're like, oh my God, this, what I'm going through now is biblical, right?
Yeah. And probably usually a little bit less.
It is, but it's first of all, it's entertaining. It's kind of shocking. It's a little bit soap opera-y.
Life's a soap opera.
I know, but you read it and it's like, so anyway, the story, at that time, King Saul was the king. He thought that his son, Jonathan, would be the natural next heir to the kingdom. And it came to, through the prophet Samuel, that God chose David, who was not from a lineage of kings, right? Like, this is the part that's like, oh, you know, with all of our unfairness of life and woe is me and why is this happening? And so then all of the people around King Saul convince him that he needs to go kill King David because King David's going to kill him and attack his family once he's the ruler. The story goes on and on, but the moral of, well, there's many lessons about it, but there's one part that talks about how a garment of clothing, King David couldn't feel warm by this coat that he had. And then later something else happens with King Saul's coat. But the lesson there is that when we don't appreciate something, it doesn't sustain us.
Doesn't warm us.
Right. So think about it this way. If you don't appreciate your mother or your father, you're not going to be able to receive from them that which you desire, which is unconditional love or compassion or care.
Warmth.
Right. If you don't appreciate your children, you can put this in any kind of area. You will not be able to receive from it. It will not be able to sustain you or satiate you. And that's all I want to say today, basically.
That's a very important point, right? It's a very important point. We often complain about things that aren't giving us what we want them to give us.
From specific, very specific people.
And things. When in reality, the reason they're not giving us what we want them to give us is because we're complaining about them.
Right.
It's such a beautiful paradox.
Right?
So if you want, for example,
love
from your mother, your father, a friend,
husband, wife, partner, whatever,
make your appreciation for them greater.
Even your children.
You'll experience. Absolutely.
I see so often with parents, they're like, my kid's this and they never listen to me. And that, well, what is it? How do you view your child? Let's be honest. Not when, oh, I love this. I always hear this from parents when the children are like under 5. I love my child so unconditionally. Like, it's so easy for me to give to them. Like nobody else. Like, I would never, ever do anything to harm. And then I was like, wait till they go through puberty. It might even be a little bit earlier. And they start talking, you're going to forget this feeling you're having right now, even though it's lasting for 5 years. It's appreciation. Appreciation is things. It's what, again, sustains a relationship, but also when you don't have appreciation where you should, it destroys that relationship.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the relationships that are damaged is really because of that lack of appreciation and the behavior that then follows that lack of appreciation.
And I think a really important understanding related to that is that our mind tells us, well, I have a right to be upset about this, right? In reality, everything and everybody is an amalgam of good and bad. Light and darkness. There is nothing in this world. There is nobody in this world who is all light or is all darkness, is all giving or all taking. So when you're getting upset.
I mean, on paper, you might have every reason to be upset. Maybe
about
the person,
that.
Right.
But that's
not even. Go ahead. Yeah.
Because the point is, in any given moment, you're making a choice. will I choose to focus on the good or the lack? So my mother, anybody's mother, they can say, let's say they're 50-50. 50% of the time, they're doing really bad, not bad thing. They're not giving me what I want. 50% of the time, they are. Even if it's 80-20, where they're not giving me what I want 80% of the time, and they're giving me what I want 20% of the time. You still have a choice. Are you going to focus on the good, the 20%, the 30%, the 50%? Or are you going to choose to look at the bad? Because we think, and this is a falsehood, we tell ourselves a story, no, it's right to be upset because right now they're not this, that, or the other. No, you're making a choice. You're making a choice in this moment to focus on a part of them, even if it's true, by the way, so many times it's not even true, but a part of them or the part of your relationship that isn't fulfilling you. But go back to the eulogy. Which parts are you going to share there? Can you live in this moment? Can you remind yourself in this moment of those 20%, the 50% that's good? And live with that. And like you said, I think it's so important to realize for every one of our listeners, the amount of pleasure, the amount of warmth that you're going to get from your father, your mother, your child, your friend, is going to be exactly commensurate to the amount of appreciation you are awakening. Because appreciation can be 0 to 100. And if you're awakening 10% appreciation, the only amount of good feelings and warmth that you're going to get from that relationship will be 10%. And it's, I think it's so important. Again, I just want to underscore that this is in your control.
1,000%.
You're not an effect of the current situation that is upsetting you or disappointing you. You are creating in any moment your appreciation that leads to the amount of warmth and goodness that you can receive from any family member or any relationship that you're in.
Also, how do you think the experience is for the person that you're in the relationship with? Like, that's the other thing that gets me so often. Why is it that because you have feelings about something, that those are the only feelings that should be considered or should be discussed? And therefore, because you have these big feelings, the other person has to just take it because they are your mother or they are your father or they're like... It's, and then it damaged the relationship. And then the person doesn't understand why is the relationship damaged. It's basically you're choosing that through the actions. Social scientists report that people who practice writing things down, things that they appreciate, even one thing a day, an experience, they have a marked rise in happiness in less than a month. Like, there's so much science that backs this up too. So if you don't want to be spiritual about the approach, you can look at science, you can look at so many things, or you can just stay in the state of upset.
I think that's such an important point you just made. So I think I would challenge any and every one of our listeners, next time you're upset in a relationship, it could be your husband, it could be your wife, it could be your mother, it could be your brother, it could be your sister, it could be your child. Stop and write down 5 things that you appreciate about them. I promise you that your reaction towards them is going to be very different than if you stay just simply focused on the thing, the one thing right now that is not fulfilling you. It's such a...
I mean, even if you look at like the state of the world, you can be upset about... I mean, the point is you can look through that lens every day of your life. The Today Show actually has an entire section on their website dedicated to good news, which I think is such a smart idea because usually the news that we see is like, oh my God, the sky is falling, worry about this, worry about that. And after just reading a few happy headlines, it will change your state of mind. I mean, that's why we talk about study so much. Anytime I'm starting to feel like a dip in my mood or whatever else, I know I need to go erase the whole day and just sit and study. And sure enough, as soon as I do, it's like the fog is cleared and I feel super excited about opportunities. And I think that's the point. We have so much abundance, so many opportunities in our life. And if we're just focusing on, and that people want to be with you, that people care about you, right? And so, so some of these stories, which I just thought were just a good way to get out of your head, not super deep at all. A Chicago woman, she's 104 years old, skydives from a plane trying to break the world record of the oldest person that skydived. I mean, I'm sure I got scared for her, but it turned out okay. Sam Kaplan, 72, graduates from Georgia College with his 99-year-old mother cheering him on. How cute is that? A Starbucks worker raises over $40,000 for his beloved barista after her car was burglarized. again, when we get out of my issue, my this, my that, there's just beauty in the world.
Yeah, it's interesting. What the word that kept coming to my mind as I was thinking about family, the good and the bad, is that word warmth. And I can tell you that, of course, while my parents were in this physical world, there were times we didn't get along, times we get along, times we argued. But certainly now, in for my father, it's over 11 years since he's left this physical world. And for my mother, over 3 years. All that remains is the warmth. And it's funny, now you and the kid always make fun of me. We live in Manhattan and we drive to JFK, the airport, every time we fly, and almost every time we fly. And every time we drive by, there's a house that we lived in that we were renting in 1980 to 1981, 82. And every time we drive by there, I point it out to the kids. My kids are already, you know, bored with me mentioning it. But every time I drive by there, I feel warm, right? And even last week, we have friends who are neighbors, but also friends in Connecticut. And so for Friday night, he brought me over a chopped liver, which I enjoy eating. But it's also food that my parents really enjoyed. And besides the fact that I enjoyed eating it, it also brought me warmth.
I'm not going to share that tradition with you, sweetie.
You don't have to. You don't have to at all. But I think that if I can, you know, share with our listeners a word to keep in mind to awaken appreciation is warmth. You know, focus on the warmth that you get when your child walks in the room or your mom walks in the room. I think, you know, that this will change your life. It certainly will change your relationships. But I want to caution, as with all important and simple truths, it depends on consistency and work. So this is not something that will change your life if you do it once or if it inspires you right now as we're talking about it. But if you really start doing it on a consistent basis, especially in the times that you're upset and disappointed, it will.
So the one word that, it's funny because we often do this, but we kind of are going down parallel kind of ideas. So the one word that came to mind, which was related to my father, because that's what, you know, I think that's, like you said, that's where you kind of go during these times of holidays, like, because as I am preparing for Thanksgiving and we're hosting a bunch of my family's gotten smaller, right? So that got me thinking about my father and my aunt's coming, so my grandmother's not here anymore. And usually she would stay in California with her. And then I saw some pictures of my father earlier today, and it awakens so much appreciation and gratitude for what is now in front of you, what you can participate in. So the word that I was thinking of was troha.
Troha.
Do you know? Your face. It's not a real word. No. Did you think it was?
Probably not. Mom, I'm pretty good at thesaurus.
Oh, so my father, that was a word he used to say a lot towards the end of his life. And it was just a made up word.
Troha.
Troha. I don't know. Maybe it's a word in some language. I should actually look it up. Anyway, and that's when he was in a silly mood and kind of like a creative mood, which was not how he was before his illness. So I kind of really enjoyed him in that state, because at some point I decided to appreciate everything about him because he was still physically here, even though he was very different. And even though some days, you know, he could see how I felt and he'd say, you know, put your head on my shoulder, you look tired. Other days he looked tired and he put his head on my shoulder. Other days he was quite lucid and he was aware of what was going on with him. And he would say sad things about himself, like his mind is broken. But my point is that wherever he was, I met him because I was so grateful. After I tried to kind of ignore it, I was just so grateful that he was here. So one day I was at the community center that he was at and I was watching just life. You know, I don't know if you've ever done that. I think that's what's fun about New York. Like if you sit on a subway or a bus and people are busy in their busyness and you kind of are just really still, you can learn a lot. And it kind of wakes you up to say, okay, what am I busy running around with? So that's what was happening to me on that day. So I was watching my father in his state, who was a chemist, his friend in a similar state who used to be a doctor. And then I was watching a lot of moms running around wearing tons of hats with their kids, this, that, which reminded me of where I was at in life. And when I went home that day, I cried a little bit, but I wasn't crying because I was sad. I was crying because I was grateful. I was grateful of the opportunities that I have still, right? Thank God. And the opportunities that I can choose what to pay attention to. I can choose joy in spite of what might be painful in front of me. I can choose to do whatever I wish to do, right? And that freedom, I can choose to be who I want to be in this world and how I want to share love and give. And I was so overwhelmed with gratitude in that day. And that's why I was crying. And I think for me, this holiday season, and hopefully inspires our listeners, that's, you know, before you go to your Thanksgiving thing, or whether it's Christmas or New Year's, before we go into those gatherings, if we can just pause for a moment and stop into that depth, right? You mentioned eulogy. I'm talking about somebody who was in the throes of an illness. Just to his, it's the only thing that kind of shakes us up, right? If not, what happens?
I always like catchphrases. So I would share with others, and is live the eulogy.
So the only thing that keeps us from doing this really is ego. And I think that there's a lot of that that goes around, especially this time of year. Often people come around the table, they feel perhaps lack, so they need to overcompensate by being the loudest in the room or the smartest in the room, or, you know, share their triggers or whatever it is. But if we can remove ego, and what was your phrase again?
Live the eulogy.
Live the eulogy. We'll be better off for it. We become agents of gratitude. We become sharing beings. And ultimately, we keep those relationships that are truest to us from diminishing or from breaking altogether.
Absolutely. And I think related to this, I think there's also a very important understanding. And that is, let's talk about the parts in our past that were wrong. So when I was 12 years old, my mother didn't pack me lunch and I was starving all day, for example, right? Or the whole list of upset that, let's even assume you're right about, right? And this is where a spiritual understanding really helps. When we realize that everything that happened to us was actually not only exactly what we needed, but that we would never become the person that we're meant to be without that. So while it is important, as we spoke up until now, to awaken gratitude for that which we received, that we enjoyed, that made us warm, I think real spiritual work or real spiritual person gets to a place where they even awaken appreciation for those parts of their relationships with their family that were not right. For example, I can think of many things, again, in many times, and we've even had this conversation, me and you, where people in our lives, important people in our lives, did things that were quote unquote wrong to us, towards us. In retrospect, we're both evolved enough to realize that really, that was some of the best gifts that we ever received. Now, would we have asked them to do it? No. Was it right for them to do it? No.
But what we did in those moments, which is a key thing, is that we knew that the behavior was wrong. We also knew that in those relationships were with people that were not going to be part of our future because...
No, but I'm talking about even family.
Yeah. Even family. No, I'm saying that,
no, even family that you want to keep a relationship.
Yes, but I'm
with.
Saying...
I'm not talking about people that you don't, that you want to remove from your life. I'm talking specifically about people you want to keep in your life.
Yes, but each relationship still can change, right? And so I think the expectation of what it should be needs to be removed so it can be whatever it can become, right? But I think the point is as things are happening, to stop and say, okay, what can I, how can I grow from this? Why is it? And that's what we did every step of the way. Like, it was not okay. Things were not okay. But we kept saying, we know this is for our greatest good. And we kept asking to be able to see what that was. We were really curious. We were really open. And we knew ultimately somehow it was there for us to grow spiritually.
And I think especially, again, and obviously it takes some time to be able to have the proper perspective. So it might not be easy if your mom just said the worst thing to you or said something that upset you today to have this consciousness. But I'm talking even specifically about things that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago. How many times do you hear somebody say, you know, my mom, when I was, you know, somebody's 50, when I was 10 years old, my mother did this and that. Fine, it was wrong. But if you've developed spiritually, can you realize that actually having your mother do that to you made you the better person that you are today? And I think that is, again, a higher level, much more difficult than what we spoke about until now. But I think it's a really important thought, at least, to begin to develop. Because I think too often we say, well, I'm right because my mother should have given me lunch when I was 10 years old and going to school. Yeah, you're right, she should have. But that day or whatever that behavior was, can you see or can you accept, can you know that it actually made you a better person? That you needed that. You needed that challenge. You needed that difficulty. And you wouldn't be the good person that you are today or the best version of yourself that you are today had you not experienced those challenges. And I know, again, as I said, you and I have this conversation often. There are many things that people close to me did to me throughout my life that were, quote, wrong. But in retrospect, I can see how they were perfect for me and how I developed as a person, hopefully a better version than I would have otherwise, only because of that behavior that I would not have desired.
Well, we wanted to make meaning of it also, and so we did, right? It's funny because last night I was actually with somebody and her mother was really, you know, not a great mother, and she had mental illness and, you know, she did things that were really not okay. And she was sharing a story of like something a mom should have been there for her daughter for. And instead, her stepfather, who's like really the only father she's ever known, was there. And the mom even tried to diminish that, you know, like, oh, he's not your real father. But anyway, I said to her, well, after that thing happened and your stepfather was there for you, what did your mom feel bad that she missed it? Did she come talk to you? She's like, I don't even remember what my mom did. I just remember how my father showed up and how he made me feel. But funnily enough, when she talks about her mother now, and I remember we used to have a lot of her mom just passed a year ago. So many conversations about our mom. She was in so much pain still about her childhood and what her mom did, but her mom died very suddenly and unexpectedly. And now when she was talking about her mother, it was a completely different thing. She's like, you know, my mom and I have a lot in common. We're very similar in a lot of ways. She's able, for whatever reason, right? This is what happens. She remembers her mom without the illness. She remembers her mom's essence and her mom's soul. And she speaks very fondly of her, but like, and her mom did really, really crazy things and it was not okay, but she now only sees the light that was in her soul. And it's just, and that's an extreme example. That's why, right, I thought of it as you were speaking, because we both spoke about our own personal experiences, but even to that extreme, and she likes to see the similarity between the two of them, the healthy part anyway.
Right. I mean, and you often speak about this, you know, certain things you saw in your family that made you very clear about what you didn't want to have in your life, which is, again, beautiful. And so in retrospect,
sometimes
again,
people teach us what we don't want, right?
And that should add to our appreciation, actually add to our appreciation, because had you not seen those things, you know, your life probably would not have been as blessings filled as it is now. And you wouldn't be the person that you are. So I think, again, I know it's a stretch, but I think an opportunity where you do get to be around family is an opportunity not just to appreciate the good, but can you imagine, and this is, I'm not saying this is easy work, but to even appreciate the bad in the past and how it's changed us and made us the better versions of ourselves that we are. And I'll add one more point to that.
And if it hasn't, well, then
discover the ways that it can.
Yes.
Because it didn't happen by accident. It wasn't just that your mother or father or sibling or husband did things that were wrong, right, to you, but it was actually meant to change you in a positive way.
It's so funny because that's part two of that, the person I was with last night. She's saying, the only thing I don't really understand is why I was born to these two people. Because her father was also super, super not, like, she didn't know him at all. They got divorced when she was one and he never showed up until like a year ago. She's now a mother herself. And she's like, I don't want anything to do with this person, right? Like, shocked by his behavior. And it's interesting because she's really tough, but she's really soft inside. She's a Cancer sign, like, but she doesn't present like that. And I said, well, I think that it's for you to choose to be vulnerable and to choose to create depth and warmth in all of your relationships with your husband, your child, your grandparents, whoever, especially because you didn't receive it. Like, you had to go through all of that. It hardened you, but now you need to choose to allow it to soften you. and come from that other place, but you wouldn't be able, you weren't supposed to receive it from them. You weren't supposed to receive it from them so that you could really desire it ultimately and then create it for yourself. It was a beautiful, really powerful conversation and understanding for her as well, right? And that's what, it doesn't make sense. It's not fair. What they did was not okay. Yes, she was wounded from it, but she's thriving now and she sees why it was there and she has a beautiful life, but she sees the parts she needs to now create for herself because she didn't have that, right? Instead of shutting that part of her down completely and closing her heart, she understands where she needs to go deeper in her current relationship.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. If you ever get a chance to have a deep conversation with Monica, grab it.
Yeah.
So I would actually challenge our listeners, you know, those of our listeners who are going to be around family or friends, and something happens that you don't like, and is, let's call it wrong, right? Let's assume. Challenge yourself to learn from it rather than to be reactive towards that person or the situation. Ask yourself the question, this isn't a coincidence that's happening in front of me now. How do I grow from this? How do I change from this? How do I say, oh, well, that's the type of behavior I do sometimes and I want to learn from it how not to do it. So I think, not coincidentally, we've had at least three important, call them lessons or challenges to our listeners. One, live the warmth, live the eulogy. Second,
well, I want to add before that, sorry, nobody should be the casualty of anybody's behavior, right? So that's the first thing that's going to say, okay, wait a second. If I see each moment as a gift, how do I want to interact with my parents? How do I interact with my siblings? If this is a gift in this moment, how am I going to be responsible for my behavior? That's first. Then live the eulogy, because then the appreciation's after.
The warmth and appreciation, right, for the good, for the warmth. And finally, try to awaken appreciation of the bad. And if something happens right now, try to not be reactive to the moment, but what am I supposed to learn from this? How am I supposed to grow from it?
And what's then, the opportunity?
Exactly. And then all you have are blessings. Mm-hmm. So we'd like to remind our listeners, everything we just said until now, very important. I think, you know, hopefully all of our podcasts are actionable and practical, but this one is hopefully something we're all going to use, hopefully always in our lives. But also remember, now you're going to be seeing maybe family and friends you don't usually see. Make sure to tell them about the Spiritually Hungry podcast. Go to Apple Podcasts, write 5 stars, give it 5 stars, write reviews, share it with everybody and anybody you know. And as always, we hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast as much as we enjoyed recording it.
Stay spiritually hungry.